All right, thanks, Theo, for that introduction. At this time, I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, Dr. Jason Bond and Dr. Wayne Ebelhair, as well as my grad students for their efforts at helping make this research possible, along with the Mississippi Corn Promotion Board for funding the research. With that said, numerous soils in the Mid-South have been classified as zinc deficiency. However, the bulk majority of the soils in the Mid-South that have been classified as zinc deficient has been classified under rice production, where Slayton in Arkansas and Walker in Mississippi, which way does this go? There we go. Classified soils as zinc deficient under rice production, where very limited data has classified soils as zinc deficient in corn production, one, Wang and others in Louisiana. And this is predominantly because corn is a relatively new crop to the Mid-South. Our corn acreage really ramped up in the late 90s, early 2000s. So historically, zinc has been applied very, very limited to the ground that corn has been grown on because it was previously seeded to cotton, and that requires less zinc to produce optimal yield than corn. And again, most of the corn produced in Mississippi is seeded in an environment that is ideal for zinc deficiency to occur. So we're on very low organic matter soils. We're planting in very cool, wet conditions. And it's just a perfect scenario, or the, if you was talking diseases, like almost a perfect triangle to get a zinc deficiency to occur. So I ride around in late March, early April with our weed scientists. And another reason we feel like a lot of the zinc deficiency has gone unnoticed is the question we get from farmers is herbicide injury. You know, it looks like a bleacher type herbicide. It looks like a Callisto, a mesotrione. Can anybody in this room tell the difference between a herbicide injury and a zinc deficiency? All right, so the figure on your left is zinc deficiency. The picture on your right is mesotrione injury. So we've had an educational effort to try to tell the producers, you really need to look. Where they were thinking, well, that's not zinc. That's an area where my sprayer slowed down in the field. We got a greater rate of mesotrione and so forth. So education has been utmost in the last several years in Mississippi to properly identify zinc deficiency in corn. With that said, we had borrowed some recommendations from rice and kind of tweaked them for our corn production systems because we don't have a hard set in stone recommendation for corn. That research is ongoing now. But in barring those recommendations, what we have observed is 5.6 to 11.2 kilograms zinc per hectare applied as a granular fertilizer will generally remedy a zinc deficiency. And we adjust those rates based on the water solubility of the zinc source. And we also adjust the application timing based on the water solubility of the zinc source. What some of our guys in Mississippi are preferring to do now is an in-furrow treatment where they're applying at least 0.5 to 1.12 kilograms zinc per hectare in the furrow. However, the bulk majority of our producers tend to like the foliar application. Many of our producers think it's easier. It's definitely cheaper than going with the granular rate. And I think they just like to see things come out of spray nozzles. But that's 1 to 2 pounds or 1.1 to 2.24 kilograms of actual zinc per hectare after emergence. And in Mississippi, generally three classes of liquid zinc formulations are applied. The pure zinc sulfate based, where all the zinc is derived from zinc sulfate. Zinc sulfate based with the citric acid chelate, and a pure EDTA chelated zinc. Now, most of these applications are going to be the zinc sulfate derived because it's much cheaper than the EDTA derived zinc. And what that led to as we started observing fields like this where we were having vast amount of acres zinc deficient, we started seeing producers use different products, and that led to different levels of foliar injury from these products. And it caused concern to whether were we having a yield decrease from the foliar burn. So with that in mind, we set out the objective to determine if leaf injury from foliar applied zinc products influences whole plant zinc tissue concentration and grain yield of corn. And again, this was developed directly from producer concern. We've had five site years established between the years 2012 and 2014. All of these were conducted on research station in Stoneville, Mississippi, on very fine sandy loams with relatively little organic matter, seeded between March the 5th and March the 20th on Bosquet soils in 2012, Commerce soils in 2013, and Bosquet soils in 2014. Pioneer corn hybrids were used in all years, and we went with a general split application nitrogen method that our producers use in the Mid-South, where we're having 67 kilograms of nitrogen applied at planting, followed by 202 at the V4, V5 stage. The three products that we chose to represent the three chemistries of liquid zinc sold in Mississippi were Brandt EDTA zinc, which is a 9% product derived solely from EDTA, Delta Ag zinc sulfate, which is a zinc sulfate derived product at 10%, and Helena Trafic zinc, which is a 10% product also derived from zinc sulfate. All applications were made with a tractor-mounted multi-boom with XR1102 VS tips, sprayed at 15 GPA at 3.5 miles an hour. So each trial was arranged as a randomized complete block with a 3x3 factorial arrangement of treatments. The measurements we collected were visual estimates of injury at 3, 6, and 9 days after application, whole plant above ground tissue concentration at 2 weeks after application, and then grain yield at physiological maturity. So looking at the data, first we'll start with the visual injury estimates 3 days after application. Most of the slides will be very similar to this, so I'll take a brief moment to set this up. We have visual injury estimate at 3 days after application on the y-axis, and total zinc application rate on the x-axis. The citrate chelated zinc, which would be the Trafix product, would be denoted by green bars. The sulfate product will be denoted by blue bars, and the EDTA-derived zinc will be denoted by red bars. And we can see at 3 days after application, we had a significant source by application rate interaction where the citrate zinc increased visual injury up to 40% of leaf. So how we rated these, and I think this is important to stop at this point and tell you, is when we rated this injury, we rated the leaves that were sprayed at that application time. So we took basically the leaf that was sprayed, and that is 40% of the leaf area on that single leaf that was rated. It's not 40% of the total leaf area on all the leaves. All right, so again, the citrate zinc increased with increasing rate, whereas the sulfate-based zinc that was not chelated with citrate and the EDTA chelate, relatively less than 10% injury. So you may say, what does that look like? We've put some pictures up here. And it may be hard to tell in this room with the lights, but this is at 3 days after application. All of these pictures represent 1 pound of actual zinc from each of these products. This is the citrate zinc. This is a zinc sulfate. This is another zinc sulfate based. And this is the EDTA zinc. If you notice, the injury pattern is different for the citrate based versus the sulfate base, where both sulfate-based products, and I stuck this one in here because it came out of a screening trial just to show the difference in products in a zinc sulfate base look more like a typical spray pattern where you can see the droplet size. Whereas the citrate chelated zinc almost runs down the leaf, okay, creating a banding type injury with very little injury on the EDTA zinc. When we increase that rate to 2 pounds an acre, we see at 3 days a little more whitening, and And we're also picking up some residue on the EDTA chelate. But once we get a heavy dew or rain, that washes off, falls off the leaf, and it's not a burn, so to speak, or injury. It's just a residue sitting on the leaf surface. At 6 days after application, we see that injury from application get slightly greater, where the maximum injury was right around 52% on the citrate chelated products when 2 pounds an acre was applied. When 1 pound an acre was applied, it was around 40%. Again, the sulfate-based and the EDTA were relatively low, below less than 15%. When we observed 9 days after application, it seemed somewhere between that 6 day we hit the peak of injury. 9 days after application looked very similar to 6 days after application, where again, with incrementing rates, we get an increase in foliar injury. However, with the sulfate-based products and the EDTA products, they're relatively, again, less than 15% overall. So what does that mean in tissue concentration? When we look at corn tissue concentration response, we see that the product that burned the foliage more severely put more zinc in the plant. So as rates increase with citrate acid product, we increased whole plant tissue concentration. However, every one of these applications and every rate put enough zinc in the plant that would be considered sufficient. The big kicker is grain yield. What does grain yield look like? Grain yield was not significant. So therefore, we feel like the injury that we are seeing to those corn plants is cosmetic in nature. So the producer may not like it if he's got that field on the highway, but if he wants to apply the product that burns, that gets the most zinc in the plant, and might be the cheapest, he can do so without fear of grain yield loss. So in conclusion, visual injury estimates differed among products. Whole plant tissue concentration increased with increasing zinc application rate. Any application rate of any zinc source supplied adequate zinc above the whole plant tissue concentration and grain yield was unaffected. One interesting note to make, if we applied at least 1 pound of zinc per acre, or 1.12 kilograms of zinc per hectare, we saw an approximate 4 day earlier tassel exertion. So that's something that needs to be future research, as well as most of our producers, when we give these recommendations, say, can I tank mix this product or any of these products with my standard corn lay-by herbicides? And we implemented research in 2014 to determine what corn herbicides may be tank mixed with these zinc products. And with that, I think I'm probably closing in on time, Theo. Thank you.